Hi there, everybody.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Sally O'Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. I have gotten a very last-minute cancellation. I regret to inform you, but there's a lot to talk about, and I'm going out to some very special friends to let them know that they should call in because I have lost my guest. Most tragically, I really mean that. I was so looking forward to speaking with her, regardless. So hold on just a second. Okay, here we go. All right. Okay, now this has been a crazy week. Anybody who's been paying attention to what's going down in New York knows that it started out crazy and has only gotten worse. And this is how it's all gone down. I got a message that from Autism Action Network, from John Gilmore, that there were going to be mandates in New York City for preschoolers, kindergartners, and daycare students for the flu and pneumococcal shots. Then I got a message from the National Vaccine Information Center saying that on page 8 of the resolution from Mayor Bloomberg to the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, that not only would there be they were evaluating this resolution for those two shots, but also for any additional shots that may be required. So we did a show on that. Christina England wrote an article. We did everything in our power to get the word out in every way we can. And she wrote an article for VaxTruth, VaxTruth.com. And I announced it on my Blog Talk Radio show. And this one right here, Public Advocate, ta-da! You can see the show just prior to this. And then John Gilmore stated at the hearing that 98.8% of students are required to be fully vaccinated in New York City, which only leaves a window of 1.2% of the students to get religious exemptions, which we are allowed in New York State. And basically, he is questioning the legality of it. I agree with him, and I'm also questioning the legality of force mandating any kind of a vaccine, and presented them at the hearing with my legislation to ban vaccines, and I said, isn't this kind of thing legislated? How can this just come out of the blue? And this will be evaluated in December, and that's after the election. John's also calling for people to call the mayoral candidates, Joe Rota and de Blasio, to ask them, will they take a position on this? But in fact, they will already be elected, and a panel that Mayor Bloomberg has elected will be the one who will make a decision. We have everyone who attended the hearing on October 23rd left their emails saying we want to know when this meeting is gathering. They told us we could not speak at this meeting, but we said we wanted to attend. And they said we could. We also requested a transcript from the hearing of what everyone had to say because they had nothing to say. They were just accepting comments. So I'm looking forward to getting that transcript because so many speeches were made. They were also very important. But since what John had said, which is that 98.8% of children must be vaccinated, I have gone to the Department of Education's website, and I clicked on the link for immunizations, and what surfaces, but now all vaccines are required. Vaccines are required from everybody. Everybody must comply. Well, this is in direct violation of our state laws. And my question is, is the most unreasonable law the one that stands? This is the question we have to ask ourselves. Because in last year, we had We had a ruling. This woman's child was given the H1N1 flu shot, and she sued, and she won. And then the health department or commission came in and said, no, you don't win. And they won because the pandemic of 2009 legislation or international agreement with the World Health Organization that Obama had signed and is now federal law, in the case of a pandemic, the pandemic has never been lifted. So we have completely different kinds of rulings, and whichever is the most hurtful to our children appears to be the one that prevails. So we have absolutely got to stop this. We have to stop it as it exists, which is all children are required, according to the Department of Education for 2013, which I just read and will post underneath the video, this program. And we have to protest mandating the flu and pneumococcal and any additional vaccines, and NVIC was clear to state and provide a link, which I will provide you too, that there are 271 vaccines that are in the pipeline. And on top of the CDC's recommended schedule of 49 doses of 14 vaccines through the age of 5, you've got pneumococcal is among them, but you've got the flu shot, and you've got 271 in the pipeline, and then you have to consider that an infant of 6 pounds given a shot is the equivalent of an adult of 180 pounds being given 30 shots on one day. So I'm just saying to you, we couldn't be in a worse situation. I do believe we could not. And I've been running for public advocate to ban vaccines. However, I have created a Facebook group called Ban Vaccines 2013 that I hope everybody will join. It's all capital letters, Ban Vaccines 2013, and an exclamation point, because we have a deadline and we don't have a lot of time here. So I'm very kind of morose that my guest is unavailable. She has two jobs and her husband is not well. So you can see she co-created the October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month with me, and I certainly wanted to get her on the radio program during the month of October. Now, we have had a lot of events throughout October to bring awareness to October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month. And not the least of it, building up to it, was the concert to ban vaccines, which I must get uploaded to YouTube somehow, because we had Michael Belkin sing two of his songs. One of them was Lost My Baby, or They Stole My Baby, or Took My Baby Away. His child died after a Hep B vaccine, and he has made it his life's work to get the message out through music. And his band is called The Refusers. And he not only sang that song, which is so sad, nobody applauded afterwards. What was there to applaud for? Not only did his child die, but they came to his house looking to see if he had shaken his baby. Well, I don't know if you listen to my radio show on Revolution Radio, Ban Vaccines 2013. I interviewed the parents of a child who was given 21 vaccines. And both of them were being charged with shaken baby syndrome. And I do not know where they are. They were going in for a hearing, and I have not heard one word in regard to the outcome of that since. I am so concerned that they went directly from that hearing to jail. I don't know, and I need to know. So if anyone has that answer, please let me know. To think of this is a triple crime. Usually if they try to accuse someone's on the good. I'm glad. I hope. Let me see what it is. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, Michael.
Hello, Sally.
It's my friend Michael Irving.
Hello, Sally.
Hello, Michael Irving. Please tell everybody how you're faring. I was very concerned when you were away, and I'm thrilled that you have returned.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm faring quite well. I was actually in hospital for alcohol detox. I got fed up with life, waiting to meet ETs, and I have this pain. Well, for 13 years, it feels like I've have a bad energy directed at me, and the only thing that will really touch it is a good few beers. And I got into that habit for a few weeks before I went into hospital, and then I just stayed in hospital. I'm a bit disillusioned with everything right now, and I think it's a stage I need to be at, because I've had a lot of ET contacts in my life, and I think the ETs, they don't land and speak to people very much because they're too astonished by the way we're living, and we wouldn't really understand what they say. So I'm afraid that's the reason I was in hospital.
Do you understand what they say? If you've had contact with them, can you communicate with them?
Well, in 1993, a clairvoyant friend, Dawn, and I were very close to the craft. On a night that she said it would happen, the May full moon in 1993, a craft flew across the road in front of us at treetop height, a couple of hundred yards in front of our car. This was at night, just about an hour before the full moon, which is what she'd predicted. Then it turned into a circle of lights. And we went to the back of the car to get a hot flask of tea. And we were standing there, and it flew over us at about 40 feet. Now, around this time, early mid-93, we were getting lots of communication through Dawn from the craft. And one bit of information hit me last night. I was watching a new film, Oblivion, with Tom Cruise and Morgan Freeman. And it seems like, I don't know if I understood the film very well, but that things are turned around in the film. The good people are the bad people, and the bad people are actually the good people. Tom Cruise has had his mind wiped, so he doesn't really remember that he's been cloned, and there are thousands of clones like him, that he's been misused and abused. Now, what was I going to say? This... Well, going back to 93, we were told that nothing is as it seems. And a few days later, a very strange thing happened. We were watching what we thought were six military jets fly just across the horizon fairly close to us. But they were... They were moving up and down and sideways a bit, moving up and down like they were on wires, or like there was somebody behind the hill that had them on sticks and was walking along with them. And this was, we both laughed at this. But another thing, we were sitting on a hillside, and I was reading something in the car, but Dawn was outside, and she watched four regular military jets, large size cargo jets fly over us. And then the next time they flew over us, because they would fly circles, a training exercise, I suppose, as it would normally be. But the second time they came over, Dawn said they had propellers, whereas the first time they came over, they were jets. And she was laughing her head off at this. I didn't know what to make at the time of nothing is as it seems, but it certainly covers We seem to have fake elections and fake television entertainment media. And we're surrounded really by fake people, people who can't voice anything deep they think about life today. Over to you.
Well, everything that you publish is deep, I must say, and everybody who visits your site, worldgatherings.net, worldgatherings with an S at the end. No, no, it's got no S. No, it's worldgatherings.net.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. No,
yes.
Worldgatherings.net. If you go to Michael's site, you will just be so informed about things that you may never have realized, especially the Native Americans. I had no idea how all of this spirituality ties together, stemming from the Native Americans, at least here in this country. And would you like to say a few words about that? I know I would like to know more about the ETs, though. Have you ever met any of them in person? Have you just seen their aircraft, or you've encountered them as being?
No, I've never met them face to face. I've seen their faces in my mind's eye, and they look beautiful people. There was an American woman who draws paints portraits of masters and so on, with sort of longish, often blonde hair, and these are beautiful looking faces, and I was told that they were my family. It was one morning when I was just looking towards the sun, and I saw these faces in my mind's eye. Why I haven't met them so far, because 93 to now, that's 20 years. I don't know, although I think I should know, because I've been trying to figure things out the past few weeks. And it occurs to me that I'm sort of returning to a sort of childlike awareness, consciousness, but like a baby with a big open smile and just wonder in its eyes. But I'm having difficulty looking after myself. I seem to be a bit allergic to water, and I think children can be. I was told that in 93 we were told that as the time of meeting came, I would feel, I'd feel more and more like I was going around the bend. And that's been the case for the past year or two. And I think that's because of the discrepancy between the 21st century life, the way we're living in this mess, and the way the ETs live. They live so perfectly, I believe. I imagine a lot of people believe that. You mentioned the Native Americans. Well, they have a lot of regard. They can pinpoint which part of the galaxy they come from, their home planet of origin, can't they? And there is a bit more Native American information hidden at worldgathering.net. It's worldgathering.net/winds, which stands for Winds of Truth. So it's stroke winds at the end. There's a bit more on White Buffalo Calf Woman there, and a message from Sitting Bull. We were getting messages from Sitting Bull in 93, and it was quite good. We went to a rave, and there were a couple of other people who were sporting posters or T-shirts with Sitting Bull on. I think he was a great individual, and I think he's coming back.
And you think he's coming back spiritually or literally?
Literally, physically, I personally believe. Just like White Buffalo Calf Woman said she would return, and she was here physically. My personal belief is Sitting Bull will also be here. There are three helpers of humanity that the Hopi talk about, and two of them are divine beings. One a woman and one a man. And these three helpers, so well, the two of the helpers, I believe, will be ETs. That's at the website, in the menu somewhere. It might be worldgathering.net/world/Hopi. If you go to Inspiring Times part of the website and have a look through the short menu for Inspiring Times, you'll find the three helpers of humanity. And not many people know this. Thomas Banyakia, he went to the UN. Eva Hemmer talked about the three helpers of humanity. And he died at about 106, so I think about 6 years ago. It's all fascinating, but we're kept in a very unfascinating world, and I'm fed up with it personally. We could have free energy, we could have all these medical cures, we could have people happy, we could have interesting television, real television, with real views of people and real information, the information we need to know. And I'm just fed up with it. But at the same time, I seem to be going through these changes of perspective. I hope that's what it is. In 93, I was told that I'd... one of the messages we got from ET was that I'd be led in everything I did. So hopefully, although I'm not doing very much for the world at the moment, that I'm going through these changes to meet ET face-to-face, I hope. We thought it would happen in 93. We were sure it would happen that summer. I've spent 2 years looking back through my life, looking at all the mistakes I've made, and owning up to them myself, like a dark night of the soul. And I think that's been a point of progress for me. And like I say, I feel I've been going around the bend. To meet ETs who have not been through the hell we have been through, I think probably takes quite a big adjustment. But they've got to come. They've got to... Well, have you ever spoken to anyone who said they've met an ET face-to-face?
No. The only thing I had a cab driver once, and he wanted to know if I had ever encountered, I believe, a man in black. And I said, no, I don't know what that is. And he said, it's someone with very smooth skin who wears a black attire. And he was purchasing flowers in a florist. And he was in the act of handing money to the person at the register or the shop owner. And a man walked in. And the next thing he knows, it's 5 in the morning, and he and the woman are standing in the same exact position. And she said to him, this never happened. So he knew that he had no one to therefrom communicate with about what actually did happen. You know, the time stood still for them, but not for the world, obviously, or it wouldn't have been 5 in the morning by the time they came to, and they came to at the same time. And they were in the same exact position they had when this man entered. But he said to me, if you don't want to attract ETs, do not think about them. You will attract them if you think about them. So if you don't want to attract them, don't think about them. And I thought that was a kind of interesting thing that he said. He said, because they will know that you are open to accepting them. So anyway, considering his kind of freaky story, I thought, okay, maybe I won't think about that. And I had just bought a book on it, too. And I thought, I said, how ironic. I just bought a book on this. And you're telling me I won't think about it. But anyway, someone else is calling in. Hang on, Michael. Let's find out who it is, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Hello, this is Sally. Who's there?
Yeah, hi, Sally. This is Dawn, another Dawn.
Hi, Dawn.
Hello, Dawn.
Hi.
This is Michael Irving. Michael Irving was talking about his encounters with extraterrestrial spacecraft, and my original guest got stuck at work and could not call in, but I'm so glad you called in, Dawn. Dawn is helping me get the word out to stop all the vaccines from killing our children. And I said to her, I'm not completely sure if my guest will call in because she stood me up last week, too. I said, why don't you stand by in case she doesn't? And she was nice enough to call in. Thank you, Dawn. So have you ever encountered an ET, Dawn?
No. And I've seen programs on several channels about that, and I've heard discussions about it over the years. And I noticed that, Michael that is British? My family is English as well, and they live in England. And of course, I've heard a lot about crop circles there, and seen the pictures. But luckily I haven't been welcomed into their midst. And with regard to, Michael, your feelings right now about the world, so many of us do have this, feeling of separation from what should be going on and really what is, or vice versa. And it can be quite confusing and upsetting, especially if we focus on the terrible things that are going on, whether it be Fukushima on a daily basis or GMOs or whatever. The world is rife with terror. And it's amazing that we can even put one foot in front of the other. I just happened to stumble across Sally's site. I was just trying to send out some information to some young parents that were friends of my daughter, and they were having babies, and I was just frantic, because I didn't want to see them damaged. I've watched Vaccine Nation, which was Gary Null's show many years ago, and I had a airing of it here locally in Maryland, and that's all about a father who spent 8 years in jail, and Gary had to rescue him and go into a court of law because they were accusing him of shaking the baby. So from that time, forward, I've been trying to be active in terms of spreading the word. And, people look at me like I'm from Mars, but, whatever. And I've lived and worked in 10 countries in my life. The first five were before I was married because my parents were in British military in South America. And then my father was in the airlines, and I was a bit of a traveler myself. So, and afterwards I was in the Foreign Service, the American Foreign Service, as a diplomat, and lived in and served in five countries. And so wherever I went, I saw the World Health Organization was always trying to push vaccines, and I was injured by a vaccine and, held down at an airport and made to have the smallpox, and held down when I was pregnant and made to have the yellow fever. And as I mentioned to Sally, that put me in crutches, and I'm sure it damaged one of my daughters. And then I just saw this a little bit of this video that you were mentioning about the German lady with the forced vaccine causing narcolepsy.
Yes, Jane Burgermeister from Austria.
Okay, causing narcolepsy in young teens. And, of course, my mother came down with narcolepsy when she was 17 in South America, and nobody knew what it was. And she suffered through it through her nursing career in England dealing with this issue. And then I saw recently, I mean, this is all coming in at me in one day. I'm just overwhelmed, you know. A family member had come down with CIDP, which is an inflammatory, you know, neuropathy. It turns out that I found a site that said, "Oh, the government is downplaying the effects of the flu vaccine because they don't want people to know that it causes CIDP and MS and other, you know, and people are suing and getting big money for this." They're actually,
they are if the timing is right, if they put together their reaction to the vaccine and a doctor says, yes, it was from the vaccine, there are many, many glitches that one runs into when trying to be compensated for vaccine damage. But I'm glad to hear somebody has received something.
Yes, there's one particular lawyer that was really doing a really good job. Apparently, these are adults, so they can get their act together faster, you know, with an advocate doctor, not like poor, young, naive parents that, you know, are just trusting. So anyway, I was just blown away by Gary Nell's latest movie, you know, Vaccine Epidemic. And I was very pleased to see that there were a couple of good lawyers there. I think Mary Holland is one and Alan Phillips is another, are going to bat, you know, for all of these wounded children. And
yes, Mary Holland was at the hearing on October 23rd in New York City, by the way, and she spoke.
Excellent, yes. Well, I know you're trying to get that thing up on YouTube of your speech, because many of us can't get it on Flash on our little iPads or whatever, you know.
Right. Well, it's very important, but I want to take a moment, Dawn, and tell you that Michael's greatest fight is to get people to wake up about the chemtrails they're spraying over our heads, and that I quite earnestly feel I have a touch of Alzheimer's. I find myself forgetful in a way that I've never been before, and we are being sprayed like nobody else. We exist between two airports. I live between two airports, and we could not be sprayed more than we are. Michael, would you like to say a few words about chemtrails? I would very much appreciate that.
Well, I think chemtrails just shows how, one, it shows how asleep people are, and two, it shows how covert power wields its might. It seems outrageous that hundreds of planes can be flying each day doing this, and the average person is it's very hard to tell them anything about it. It's as if people are in a coma.
On the Global Chemtrail Awareness Day, I took to the streets in my own neighborhood. I couldn't get to New York or to Long Island where they did have groups, but I just, you know, hit the streets with your flyer, and then I reduced the size and I added your website so that people could go directly to your website and several others too. But let me tell you, the sarin gas made this outing an education spree that I was on, because I always educate people about chemtrails after I've educated them about vaccines. So this time it was chemtrails first and vaccine second, and I said to them, perhaps you understand that with all these, with the sarin gas that was recently sprayed in Syria and killed all those children, perhaps you understand now that there is a serious threat here, and even though this is the slow kill, they could change the mix in airplanes all over the world tomorrow, and it would be the fast kill. This woke them up. This is the first time. You never expect sarin gas to be a blessing, but if this is what it takes to wake people up.
Yes. Yes, they can change the mixture at any time. It's very worrying. Very worrying indeed.
Dawn, are you concerned? Are you Dawn Malkin?
I was waiting to hear if you would address me. Yes, well, luckily, we have a small health support group here in this area, and the leader, Bruce Johnson, this is from Gary Nell's health support group that he came here 13 years ago, and we just continued it. Trying to, you know, learn about all the different issues and how to address them, and in our own small way. And he told me about the chemtrails, and occasionally I see them above. We don't have that many in our area, luckily, that I can see anyway. But then recently, in March, I was in Florida, and Gary Nell did a program on it. And maybe Michael knows the person. I can't remember his name, but he was quite a famous advocate for that. And he went into all the details about it and the fact that the small pieces of aluminum are falling down, and it's permeating the whole landscape. Apparently, it's supposed to be an effort, he claimed, to change the climate, but from your perspective, it's obviously more vindictive than that. So,
Michael has a very good quote from the Hopi Nation or from Sitting Bull, possibly, about the Rainbow Warriors and when they will come together. Would you like to give that quote, Michael?
Oh, it's something like, it was from Dan Everhammer, the man who talks about the three helpers of humanity. Dan said, we'll see a mist, a haze, something or other. I'm sorry, it's so long since I looked at it. And I've been here, there, and everywhere the past few months, or sort of thing. We'll see a mist, and this will be a warning to humanity that it's time for us to unite and find the cause of our dilemma or dilemmas. Find the cause of our dilemma, and I found that quote about eight years ago. When I was sort of being told inwardly to go and look at the Hopi website, I looked at very occasionally. I was told for weeks I felt I had to go and look, and I found that straight away. We'll see a mist, and this will be a sign to humanity, a warning that we must unite together and find the cause of our dilemma.
Well, the lifting the veil, Armageddon means lifting the veil, and there is literally a veil over the sky of this mist.
Mm.
Is this what they mean by lifting the veil?
Sorry?
I say, is this what they mean by lifting the veil, by looking beyond this mist, which is draped over our skies like a veil?
Well, Dan Everhammer didn't actually say lifting the veil, I don't think, but...
No, the word,
yes.
the term Armageddon, I understand, means lifting the veil.
Yes, right, yeah. Well, we need to see clearly that there's an article somewhere at World Gathering website which talks about the mind... some of the ingredients of the chemtrails being able to permeate the blood barrier into the brain, causing mind influencing. And in 2001, I think 2001 was a big step up in chemtrailing at the beginning of 2001, around about January, February. And so I could take beautiful pictures of sunrises in 2000, but I couldn't in 2001 because of aircraft trails in front of the sun. There we had in September 2001, we had 9/11, which required people to be mind influenced to a huge degree. So that makes me wonder if the chemtrails really are slowing down people's thinking.
Yeah, well, the aluminum
sorry.
Certainly penetrates the blood-brain barrier. That's proven.
Yeah.
So there you go, and creates a variety of injuries. So. There you go.
Yeah. So quite we're up against quite dark people who are using technology. There's a thing, the Rainbow Dream Vision of Hope, which says that there'll be the dark forces will use technology against us. And there'll be some good benefits at this time, but there'll be very dark developments too.
Yeah, well, the positive aspect of this is, I'm holding my hand here, Reboot Your Brain by Gary Null. It's how many pages? I don't know, 450 maybe. And also Healing the Brain Naturally, Sally. So get a copy of one or the other or both and do what you can do in a positive way to keep your brain healthy, because it needs so much energy and more than the heart. And, you know, you need to protect that because you are functioning under a very high level of stress. So you need to take care of yourself while you're taking care of all these other babies.
Well, coconut oil, I was told, improves people who are undergoing Alzheimer's, that coconut oil has tremendous beneficial.
Yes. Yes, it's absolutely beneficial. I contacted that lady that wrote a book, that doctor from Florida, because she actually worked down the street from where I had been staying. And I, when I found her, I just sent her an email, just as like I did you, and it said, you know, that coconut oil is excellent. And I sent it to her because I thought perhaps her husband might like to join a brain health study group that Gary was doing, you know. But she's moved ahead with the coconut oil, and they're doing a study now in Florida, I think at one of the universities there, to see if it does work. Well, of course it works. You know, I take coconut oil every day, and you can use it for 20 different things, you know, in and out. So it was touted as being terrible, you know, by the corn oil industry back in the 50s and 60s, because everybody in developing countries used it. So they had to change opinions. But it's come back with a vengeance now, and it's good for everything that ails you. So keep 2 tablespoons a day, work up to it. You know, don't take a lot at one time, otherwise it'll give you a loose tummy. But, work up to it and keep that oil on a daily basis.
Well, you're not believe what my daughter just sent me while you were talking, Dawn. She uploaded my speech at the New York City vaccine mandate hearings, and I'll send that to you right now, and I'll put it under the radio show as well. Well, I'm concerned also, something I brought up in this, and I have posted under the Facebook page from Yuka Azuma, is that they're saying that there's an alert for the H7N9 vaccine transpiring right now. And we have stockpiled 600 doses, enough for 600 million doses, enough for 2 for each people. I have a couple of links on Van Vaccines about that. Van Vaccines 2013, go to my group. Everybody join that. And so there has been a recent alert as of yesterday. I've been posting it everywhere. And I hope everybody will pay attention to what I'm saying and look at it.
Yes, I saw that this morning. So what exactly is that part of the forced vaccine program for everyone?
Yes, just like with the pandemic, they tried to pull in 2009, and Jane Burgermeister speaks about that pandemic and the H5. She never gets to the H7. But I have read a couple of times this is a weaponized vaccine. They all are bioweapons. So I don't know how this is uniquely weaponized, but he explains in one of the videos why we need 2 shots of it. Well, anyway, thank you, Michael Irving of worldgathering.net. Thank you, Don Malkin of Gary Null supporter extraordinaire, and I hope to speak with both of you again on my program. I will send you the video that my daughter just put together, and I appreciate so much both of you coming in with no notice to replace a guest who was unavailable. Your input, your knowledge is always so valued.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Sally.
Yeah.
I don't deserve half your praise. I was just the odd person making a phone call or sending an email. And Michael, I certainly will...
You are so aware, Dawn Malkin. You are so aware of what's happening, and you're willing to speak out. What makes you less than an extremely heroic person, I can't imagine.